Hey everyone, thanks for joining us for another deep dive. Today we're going to be tackling a topic that I know is super relevant to all of us, leadership, but with a specific focus on how it can really drive innovation.
It's fascinating, isn't it? I mean,
it is.
This idea that in today's world, innovation is the key to not just staying ahead, but to honestly just keeping up.
Absolutely. It's not a nice to have anymore, it's survival.
Exactly.
So let's jump right in. What are we seeing? Like, what's changing in terms of leadership when we talk about fostering these groundbreaking, game-changing innovations?
Well, one of the biggest shifts, and I think it's a really exciting one, is this move away from the lone genius myth.
Okay, I've heard of that.
Yeah.
Like the idea that one brilliant mind comes up with everything.
Right. And while those minds certainly exist, what we're seeing more and more is that real innovation, the kind that really moves the needle, it comes from tapping into what we call the collective genius.
Collective genius. So instead of a single spotlight, it's more like...
More like a symphony.
Ah, I like that.
Where everyone in the organization, everyone has a part to play, has a unique perspective to offer.
So it's about bringing those diverse voices together, those experiences and perspectives.
Exactly. And that's where leadership becomes so crucial.
Because
if you think of a leader as an architect...
Okay, I'm following.
Their job isn't to come up with all the ideas themselves, but to design the space, the culture, where those ideas can flourish.
To create an environment where people feel safe.
To experiment, to collaborate, to share those sometimes half-baked ideas that might just turn into the next big thing.
That makes a lot of sense. But I imagine this creates some interesting, maybe even tricky challenges for leaders.
Oh, absolutely. It's a delicate balancing act.
Like how so?
Well, on the one hand, you need that strong vision.
Right. A clear direction.
But on the other hand, you need to create space for people to contribute their own ideas, to challenge the status quo.
To not just follow blindly, but to actually think for themselves.
Precisely. And that's where this concept of tensions in leadership becomes so relevant. Yeah. Think of it as a spectrum.
Okay.
On one end, you have those more traditional leadership styles, the command and control, very top down.
Right.
And on the other end, you have the demands of this crazy, fast-paced, constantly evolving world.
Where everything is changing at warp speed.
Exactly. And leaders are caught in the middle trying to navigate these competing forces.
So it's not about choosing one style over the other.
No, not at all. It's about understanding those tensions and knowing when to dial up certain approaches depending on the situation, the context.
So it's about flexibility, adaptability.
Absolutely. Being able to read the room, so to speak, and adjust your leadership style accordingly.
So give me an example. Like, what does this look like in practice?
Sure. Let's take the tension between what we call the teller and the listener.
Teller versus listener. Okay, lay it on me.
So the teller is that leader who's very directive. They provide clear instructions.
Sets expectations, no ambiguity.
Exactly. They're the ones at the plan and everyone needs to follow it. But the listener...
They're the ones who...
They're all about tuning in.
Really hearing what people are saying.
Yes. And not just hearing, but understanding those diverse perspectives.
Even if those perspectives are different from their own.
Even then! They might even challenge their own assumptions based on what they're hearing.
That's a pretty big shift for some leaders, I imagine.
It can be. But when it's done well, the results can be amazing.
Do you have an example? Someone who really embodies this teller-listener balance?
Oh, absolutely. I think Angela Arendt is a fantastic example.
Oh, yeah, of Burberry and Apple fame.
She's a great example of a leader who really understood the importance of both telling and listening.
In what way?
Well, when she was at Burberry, she completely transformed the brand, especially in terms of how they connected with younger, more digitally savvy consumers.
I remember that. It was a huge shift for the brand.
It was. And a lot of that success came from her willingness to really listen to what those millennial customers wanted, what they were looking for in a luxury brand.
So she was actively seeking out their perspectives.
Oh, yeah. She was deeply curious about their needs and desires. But at the same time...
She didn't just give them whatever they wanted.
Exactly. She also held firm to Burberry's core values, their heritage, those non-negotiables that gave the brand its identity.
So it was about finding that sweet spot.
Absolutely. Listening to fresh perspectives while staying true to the brand's essence. And the impact was incredible. She revitalized the brand and made it relevant to a whole new generation.
That's such a powerful example. But I imagine there are other tensions that leaders need to navigate when it comes to fostering innovation.
Oh, definitely. And that's what we'll dive into next, this idea of balancing focus with exploration.
Okay, so like, do you become an expert in one specific area? Or do you stay aware of everything that's happening around you?
That's the one. The miner versus prospector dilemma. And trust me, it's one that keeps a lot of leaders up at night.
Well, I can't wait to hear more about that. But let's save that for our next deep dive.
Sounds like a plan. I'm looking forward to it. It's a tough one, for sure. I mean, you think about it, and it makes sense, right? You want to, on the one hand, you want to dig deep, become a real expert in your field.
To really master your craft.
Exactly. Become that go-to person, the miner, if you will.
Okay, I'm with you.
But then there's that other side.
Which is?
Keeping your eyes on the horizon, you know, being aware of all the new trends, the emerging technologies, those opportunities that are just popping up all the time.
So being more of a prospector in that sense.
Exactly. And finding that balance, that's the real challenge.
Because you can't do both at the same time.
Right.
I mean, at least not to the same degree.
Right. And that's where leaders have to make some tough choices, figure out how to allocate their time and resources, and honestly, their mental energy.
It's like that old saying, jack of all trades, master of none.
Yeah. But what's interesting is that sometimes you need a little bit of both.
To be successful.
To really innovate, to stay ahead of the curve. Think about Matthias Döpfner.
Who's that?
He was the head of Axel Springer, a huge media company.
Okay, I'm familiar with them.
So he knew that the media landscape was changing rapid. I mean, everything was going digital.
Right. Disruption everywhere.
Exactly. So what did he do? He took his entire team to Silicon Valley.
Wow. The heart of the tech world.
Immersed them in that startup culture, you know, all those new ideas and ways of thinking. He was a true prospector in that sense.
So he was looking for inspiration, new ways of doing things.
Absolutely. But he also made some really tough decisions back home, you know, divesting non-core assets, really focusing on what they did best.
So back to the miner mentality.
Yeah, he had to balance both, knowing when to explore and when to exploit their existing strengths.
It sounds like finding that balance is key to driving innovation, but it's not easy.
No, it's not. And I think a lot of leaders struggle with this, especially when it comes to embracing these more collaborative styles.
Because it requires them to give up a certain amount of control.
You hit the nail on the head. It's that fear of relinquishing control, of appearing less authoritative.
I can see how that would be scary for some leaders.
Yeah, it is. It goes against everything they've been taught about what it means to be a leader.
To be the one in charge, making all the decisions.
Right. But what they may not realize is that holding on to that old command and control approach can actually stifle innovation.
Because?
Because it creates a culture of fear, where people are afraid to speak up, to challenge the status quo, to take risks.
So it actually limits their potential, both individually and as a team.
Exactly. It's like putting everyone in a box and saying, okay, be creative, but only within these very specific parameters.
Not exactly a recipe for groundbreaking innovation.
Not at all. So how do you get past that fear? You know, the fear of letting go of that control. It's not easy.
No, it sounds like a real mental hurdle.
It is. It requires a shift in mindset.
Like how so?
It starts with understanding that embracing those other side behaviors.
Like listening more than telling.
Exactly. It doesn't mean abandoning your strengths as a leader.
So it's not about becoming someone you're not.
No. It's about expanding your range, adding new tools to your leadership toolbox, becoming more versatile.
So you can adapt to different situations, different challenges.
Right. And I think a lot of leaders, once they start exploring these other sides, they realize that it doesn't diminish their authority. It actually enhances it.
Because they're becoming more well-rounded, more effective.
Exactly. They're able to tap into the collective genius of their team in a way that they couldn't before.
Which ultimately leads to better results, more innovation.
That's the goal. And it all starts with that willingness to let go of that fear and embrace something new.
I'm getting the sense that influence plays a big role in this new style of leadership. It's not just about giving orders. It's about inspiring people.
You're right. I think it's a crucial piece of the puzzle.
Like how so?
When it comes to innovation, relying solely on your formal authority.
Like, I'm the boss. Do what I say.
Exactly. That's just not going to cut it.
Why not?
Because true innovation, the kind that really disrupts industries, it requires commitment. It requires people to be truly bought in.
They have to believe in the vision, not just follow orders.
Yes. And that comes from building trust.
Okay, trust is huge.
It's foundational. And it's not something you can demand or force. It has to be earned.
So how does a leader go about earning that trust?
By being authentic, by fostering a sense of shared purpose.
So people feel like they're part of something bigger than themselves.
Exactly. And by creating a culture where people feel safe to contribute their ideas, even if those ideas are unconventional or challenge the status quo.
So it's about creating that psychological safety.
It is. And that's where influence comes in, you know, being able to inspire people, to motivate them, to get them excited about the possibilities.
So it's less about commanding and more about...
It's more about empowering, about creating an environment where people feel like they can truly thrive.
I like that. But it sounds like a pretty big shift for some leaders.
It is, but it's a shift that's essential if we want to see real innovation happen.
So can you give me an example? Like, what does this look like in the real world?
Sure. Think about the clinical trials leader at Pfizer.
Okay, what about them?
They were facing a huge challenge. They needed to find ways to speed up the pace of innovation.
In the pharmaceutical industry, that's a big deal.
It is. And they realized that the old ways of doing things, you know, being very hierarchical, very top down.
It wasn't working anymore.
Exactly. So they decided to try something different.
What do they do?
Instead of dictating terms to their vendors.
So like, you do this, you do that.
Right. They focused on building relationships.
With their vendors.
Yes.
Real, genuine partnerships. Based on trust and mutual respect.
Interesting.
It was a complete shift in mindset. They went from seeing vendors as simply service providers to viewing them as true partners in innovation.
So they were tapping into their expertise, their creativity.
Exactly. They recognized that their vendors had valuable insights to offer, that they could actually help them accelerate the pace of innovation.
And did it work?
It did. They were able to reduce clinical trial timelines from years down to a mere 266 days. Wow, that's a huge improvement.
It was a game changer. And yeah. It all came from that willingness to build genuine partnerships, to share control, to tap into the collective genius of everyone involved.
That's incredible. But it sounds like this leader was thinking even bigger, beyond just their own team and their vendors.
You're picking up on something really important. They understood that real, impactful innovation often requires collaboration that goes beyond the walls of a single organization.
So it's about connecting with the wider ecosystem.
Exactly. And that's where these concepts of bridging and catalyzing become so important.
Okay, I'm intrigued. Break it down for me.
So leaders who act as bridgers, they connect their organization.
A what?
To a whole world of external resources, you know, talent, ideas, perspectives that they might not have access to internally.
So breaking down those silos, bringing in fresh air.
Exactly. And then there's the catalyst role.
Which is?
Catalysts, they encourage co-creation.
What does that mean?
It means bringing together people from different disciplines, different industries, even different sectors.
To work together.
Yes, to solve problems, to generate ideas, to create something truly new and innovative.
So it's about recognizing that the best solutions often come from unexpected places.
Absolutely. And that's the leader's job, to bring those diverse players together, to create the conditions for those groundbreaking collaborations to emerge.
So they're like the orchestrator of this symphony of innovation.
That's a great way to put it. And remember that clinical trials leader at Pfizer, they didn't stop at transforming their relationships with vendors.
They went even further.
They spearheaded the creation of industry consortia.
Consortia.
Yeah, bringing together competitors and collaborators.
To work together, that's crazy.
It is. But they knew that by working together, they could address those really big, hairy challenges that no one company could solve on their own.
So it was about raising the bar for innovation for the entire industry.
Exactly. And that's what being a catalyst is all about, creating that ripple effect that extends far beyond your own organization.
I have to admit, all of this sounds pretty daunting. It's a lot to ask of leaders.
It is, but it's also incredibly exciting, don't you think? I mean, we're talking about fundamentally changing the way we lead, the way we innovate.
It's about creating a better future, a more collaborative, more innovative world.
Exactly. And that's something worth striving for, wouldn't you say?
It is exciting. But where do we even begin? I mean, how do our listeners start putting all these ideas into practice?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? Well, I think a good starting point is reflection.
Okay, reflect it.
Yeah, like take some time to really think about what resonated with you today, you know, from our conversation.
So what stood out? What really clicked?
Exactly. And then think about your own leadership style. You know, where do you naturally fall on that spectrum of tensions we talked about?
Like, am I more of a teller or a listener? That kind of thing.
Exactly. Or a miner versus a prospector. Yeah. And once you have a sense of your natural inclinations.
Then what?
Then ask yourself, how can I stretch myself? You know, how can I explore the other side of those tensions, even if it feels a little uncomfortable?
To become more well-rounded, more adaptable.
Precisely. Because that's where the real growth happens, when we step outside of our comfort zones.
I love that. It's about challenging ourselves to become better leaders.
And remember, this isn't about perfection. It's about progress.
Making small steps, experimenting, learning along the way.
Exactly. And, you know, sometimes those steps might feel backward.
Like you're messing up.
Yeah. But even those missteps, those are valuable learning opportunities.
So it's all part of the process.
It is. And the important thing is to keep moving forward, to keep learning, to keep growing.
This has been such an eye-opening conversation. I feel like we've really uncovered some valuable insights into the future of leadership.
Me too. And, you know, what I find most inspiring is that it's not just about CEOs or people in formal leadership positions.
It's about all of us, right?
Exactly. Everyone has the capacity to lead, to influence, to make a difference.
Regardless of our job title or position.
Absolutely. It's about owning our impact, about contributing to a more innovative, more collaborative, more human-centered world.
I love that. So as we wrap up this deep dive, what's one key takeaway you'd like to leave our listeners with?
That's a tough one. I guess if I had to choose just one, it would be this. Don't be afraid to experiment.
To try new things, to step outside of our comfort zones.
Exactly. Because that's how we learn, that's how we grow, that's how we innovate. And who knows, you might just surprise yourself with what you're capable of.
That's a great note to end on. And for our listeners, if you're looking to develop these leadership skills within your organization, consider Market Value Creation as a resource. Their expertise in leadership development, training, and recruitment could be just what you need to foster a culture of innovation. So go out there, embrace the challenge, and let's create a future where innovation thrives.